Hi, I'm Pauline van Marek Broekman, and I edit Mute with Simon. I've lived here now for 9 years, so that's why I don't sound very Dutch anymore.
Yeah, I'm Simon Worthington. I'm the other main editor on Mute. I'm an artist as well, and I live here in London.
How long does Mute exist?
Since November 94. We decided to make it in the beginning of 94 and then spent about 6 months figuring out how you make a magazine and thinking what kind of magazine we'd make. And then, quite quickly by November, we actually managed to get the thing printed. That was our pilot issue, which we printed as 8 pages, as a full broadsheet newspaper. And so since November 94, we've then produced 4 issues quarterly. It was a magazine about art and technology, but essentially a magazine about art and technology from a perspective of contemporary art. So bringing those issues that artists are interested in that critically are key to how art has changed over the last 10 years. And that was in response to us as artists and us knowing other artists working in technology, but they're not necessarily being a similar set of discussions around art made using technology, or the issues arising from technology not being necessarily taken on board by the issues that contemporary artists are interested in. So it was that there was nothing else around dealing with this subject matter.
You mean in print?
Yeah, that's very true, because we had to also consider the fact that we could, or in some people's eyes should, make this thing as an electronic publication, but one of our main concerns was to get it to people that at that time either might not be inclined to seek access or didn't have it, couldn't afford it, and that the thing could bridge both in terms of subject matter and kind of critical attitude, and in its format could bridge those two areas, the electronic and the concrete. And so although we do have an internet site, partly due to lack of time, we've had to choose a priority, and at the moment that one has been the paper publication.
But isn't it also so that you have this beautiful line, proud to be flesh on top of your newspaper, very small, but very there, very present, that a newspaper is much more tangible. It's
it's more physical.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those things are embedded in the format. The fact that we're really keen to constantly reassert and bring into and out of the concrete, into the electronic and the virtual.
People from different areas. It might be from your IBM or your Apple or your Motorola down to your cyberpunk who's giving his cyber rant. On all different levels, people so much want to deny the body and to leave the body behind, so we couldn't just help but say, no, proud to be flesh. But it is also, we're not wanting to necessarily deny this virtualization or to look at on something in a kind of polaric sense of being good or bad, but we do want to, I think, as Pauline said, to add in a certain irony that it is these structural models that do come from our body. There are limitations. We are still human, even if that definition of the human has completely changed. We're still trapped or within our bodies.
Well, what I like so much about the magazine, or what strikes me most, is that it's not so much a platform for electronic art and new media, but more of a meeting place. Mm-hmm. It gets together, it combines, it shows all of the people that are working alone behind their little computer that there's so much more out there. When I got Mute into my hands, it was for the first time that I realized that there's so much happening in Great Britain in this field. Was that also one of your reasons to make it a meeting place?
We wanted to see it very much as a kind of vessel that doesn't dogmatically say one way of using technology is better than the other, and and to look at interesting and positive uses of technology, both in academic, artistic, and commercial fields, because a lot of what in the end will be interesting to artists and people that want to use technology creatively might come out of the commercial uses of technology. So to always filter that through a very critical framework that is often the case in art publications seemed... It's important that it happened, but it sometimes is counterproductive in the sense that that first-hand knowledge could actually make the artistic use of it a lot more interesting. And rather than always kind of keep it at bay because it's not quite profound enough yet or something, seemed a less interesting way of presenting it than just going about kind of taking on board and counterposing all the different uses and views of technology that were happening both in the UK and in Europe. And there were really interesting things happening here already in 1994, where people had been using the internet and looking at virtual reality in an artistic context for about 2 or 3 years, but they weren't really being looked at in a lot of other publications. So, and also, for example, artists were very interested in musicians' uses of technology because in a lot of ways it seemed to have been used much more intuitively, much more quickly, whilst artists weren't yet or needed the kind of graphical interface to do that, and weren't acclimatizing to the code very quickly if that graphical interface wasn't there. So we were keen, although we haven't quite succeeded yet, to also look at music, to look at all areas where people can, you know, look at different uses of technology.
Now referring to this cyberculture, which is seems to be much linked to the club scene here in London.
You know, you've had this very, very rich club culture that's created a very rich kind of film and performance culture, a lot of, you know, new and different kinds of venues and also kind of subject matters, but also in terms of the music and in terms of kind of what the population, what people are interested in, and what they're doing, you know, on the fashion side as well. But this whole area of the kind of popular culture, of club culture, has been very separate from art, and so there has been some crossover, but the crossover seems to be more in terms of people leaving one and going to the other, and not necessarily keeping up a communication between the two. So it's a kind of people... a kind of mutiny from one to the other, and we wanted to somehow put some planks across.
Could you see there's something emerging, some cyberculture which is growing, if we can call it a cyberculture, it's maybe the easiest word.
Mm.
Is something happening? Is there really something developing, and are people more connected than they were?
I think there is. I think there is in areas that previously people weren't keen to kind of be associated with the word cyber, for example, like in the arts and in literature and things like that. I think in music the shift is more like some people think that the kind of music scene has actually developed quite negatively, has fragmented and got commercial to the point where the kind of smaller things that make things be experienced as an exciting scene aren't happening. But I think things like Jungle and the smaller kind of clubs that's coming out of are really good and are kind of bringing people together from areas that previously weren't together.
It's so also the word, which is, of course, nobody really likes to use.
No, exactly. Yeah, mm. But I think there's definitely positive things happening, and people keen to use technology and kind of connectivity in a way that there wasn't sort of 2 or 3 years ago. I think that's definitely true.
And I think, I mean, and from the art world, and what artists are doing and how artists are interested in technology, there's a definite change. 2 years ago, if you'd mentioned technology, you could only be defined by being a nerd. Now technology, I mean, I think this is a cultural phenomenon, not only specific to England, but technology in a way has become more visual, and is now what whole different areas that you're interested in. But I think in terms of art, there was a certain kind of phobia towards technology, and maybe there's a kind of, it seems, a certain characteristic in the UK that people are either very arrogant to change and are quite Luddite, but also at the same time you have a very, very strong popular culture that just runs ahead with anything. So you have these two kinds of forces that are moving at different speeds, but the art world has changed. You have a whole number of artists who wouldn't have been working in multimedia who are starting to use it, but are starting to appropriate it in their way.
And there's a lot of other aspects to the use of digital media that aren't necessarily artistic, that are political or social and cultural, that could be talked about in a way that which would speed up the relevance of it culturally.
Do the political and ethical and theoretical aspects of it also come forth in your newspaper?
Yeah, no, it does very much. I mean, we've been running over the last two issues a series of articles that originally generated from the Hypermedia Research Centre, which is an academic media artistic part of Westminster University. They've been very interested in what are the differences between the cyber culture of maybe the UK and Europe as opposed to the Americas, when you have the G7 meeting last summer in Italy, deciding how Europe should bring up develop an infrastructure to enable high speed networks, which would change whole numbers of kind of broadcast institutions, from TV to radio to satellite. When you have, in America, then bringing in the V-chip, which is a kind of a system by which people in their own homes can decide to cut out certain programs. When you have a whole series of deregulation happening within telecommunications in the States and soon to happen in Europe, these are things that aren't just theoretical, they are happening now and also very fast. And we approach those subject matters. Mm-hmm. Although we try and feed in different ideas to it.
We're keen to include stories and critical essays and comic strips and reviews and mix up ways of looking at particular subject matter that comes from technology, cultural, social, p- political and artistic, so that you don't have this kind of rule of one particular kind of criticism, but that you can look at the subject matter through different languages. That's something we're really interested in. Mm-hmm. And that hopefully contributes to that sensation of it being like a kind of meeting place, so that you don't always have the very well-informed critic saying, rah, 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 you know, that you can have a small comic strip in a way getting it home to you much more directly, just because you respond to that in a different way than you do to a theoretical essay.